fruits guarantees the rest of the harvest. And when the Bible uses this term, Christ the first fruits, what it is actually telling you, the resurrection of Jesus is guaranteeing all the other resurrections that are to come, including your resurrection and mine. Amen.
Our broadcast this evening will be the first part of Pastor Brian Grant's message given to the congregation on Resurrection Sunday, 2018, and entitled, The Impact of the Resurrection. This message is timely for all seasons in that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the central fact of the Christian faith, making Resurrection Day, or Easter, to be often regarded as the most sacred of days on the Christian calendar. The impact of that fact of the resurrection, that Jesus is alive, is enormous. If you have your Bibles then, we invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and listen with us as Pastor Grant draws from Scripture important ways in which the resurrection of Jesus Christ fundamentally impacts everyone in this world, whether a believer or not. Here now is Pastor Grant.
Have you ever heard of Harry Houdini? Harry Houdini was a very well-known magician who died in 1926. And Harry Houdini was known for spectacular escapes. One time they put Harry Houdini in a straitjacket. They sealed him in a coffin. They buried the coffin. And miraculously, Houdini escaped. They sewed him in canvas bags. He escaped. They handcuffed him, put him in an oversized milk can, filled the milk can with water, so he had very limited time, and Harry Houdini locked up the milk can. He escaped. They put him in a coffin, in a straitjacket. They did all sorts of stuff. They put him in barrels of beer barrels. He escaped. They locked him up in maximum security prison. He escaped. He was really an escape artist. But one day death laid hold of Harry Houdini. It was October 1926. When he got sick, he told his wife, he said, "Honey, if there's any way out of death, I will find it." And so that's a true story, by the way. And so his wife, after he died, she kept a light on over his portrait, and she kept the light on because she figured Harry may be coming back. But after 10 years, she turned it off. Harry Houdini was not coming back from death. But just over 2,000 years ago, death laid hold on Jesus. You know, they took him from that cross. They wrapped him in grave clothes. They put 100 pounds of spices in the folds of the grave clothes. They wrapped it tight. He was like a mummy. They took him and they put him in a cold, rocky tomb. They took a big stone and they rolled that stone to seal the tomb. The seal of the Roman government was on the stone. Guards were placed outside to make sure that nothing unusual could happen. But you know what happened? Death could not hold him. The spices and the grave clothes could not seal him. The tomb could not conceal him. On the third day, Jesus Christ arose. And this morning we can celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. Jesus Christ is alive and he lives in the power of an endless life. He will never die again. But what? How important is the resurrection of Jesus? What impact does the resurrection of Jesus have on your life? How will it make a difference in your life? In what way will the resurrection of Jesus impact you? This might surprise you, but no matter who you are, no matter what you believe, the resurrection of Jesus is going to have a very significant impact on your life. Did you hear what I said? the resurrection of Jesus, whether you believe or not, it is going to have a very significant impact on your life. And this morning I want to speak to you on the theme, the impact of the resurrection. And I'm going to take my text from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 15. This is the greatest treatise on the resurrection that you can find anywhere. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, turn there, because I'm going to spend a lot of time in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to start reading at verse number 50. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let me share with you this morning three ways in which the resurrection of Jesus will impact your life. Way number one, the resurrection of Jesus will impact the way we face death. The resurrection of Jesus will impact the way we face death. Several years ago, Larry King was interviewed by Barbara Walters. And some of you know Barbara Walters, and she can ask some very direct questions. And as the interview proceeded, Barbara Walters looked at Larry King and she said, Larry, what is the one thing you fear the most? Larry King didn't even pause for too long, because this seemed to have been uppermost on his mind. Larry King quickly responded to Barbara. He said, Barbara, the one thing I fear the most is death. The one thing I fear the most is death. Larry King feared death. Now, this shouldn't surprise us. In fact, because the statistics tells us that in the United States, 68, almost 70% of Americans fear death. Do you fear death? You know, it doesn't surprise me that people, that one of the big issues is that people fear death. It doesn't surprise me, because in the chapter we just read, in the verses I just read, you may have noticed that Paul refers to the sting of death. Did you notice I said that? The sting of death. Paul describes death as a big monster with a sting that is to be dreaded. He talks about the sting of death. And then he talks about the fact that the sting of death is sin. You see, because of sin, death has sting. You know, some people live as if there is no life after death. Perhaps you're one of those. We live as if there's no life after death. We do what we want to do. But you know, when death looms, all of a sudden, we start recalculating. What if there is life after death? What if there is God? What if there is an eternal eternity ahead? What if? Because suddenly we realize if there really is a life after, we realize we better not pass on to this. You see, death opens the door to the great unknown. And we better not get to the great unknown and run into God with sin problems. And so there is dread. And I wonder if there's somebody here this morning that if you're honest, you would have to admit, I am a bit concerned about what would happen if I died, because I really can't be sure that there is no life after death. People keep telling me there is no life after death, but suppose there really is. And I'm here to tell you on the authority of the Word of God that there is a life after death. There is a sting. Listen, the resurrection of Jesus impacts how we face death. For the unbeliever, the person who has not received Jesus Christ, death is a dreaded thing. But oh, I thank God that for the believer in Jesus Christ, the sting of death has been removed. Amen. The Apostle Paul, who faced death on many occasions in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, he says, "Oh death, where is your sting?" The sting of death has been removed for the believer in Jesus Christ. He says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory." Hallelujah! Billy Graham was 96 years old, and he was speaking to some people, and he said, "Listen, I know I might not have much longer, but he says, I can hardly wait to go to heaven. I am looking forward to heaven with such anticipation. I am looking forward to see my Savior." Billy Graham was looking forward to dying, because for the believer in Jesus Christ, death is just the opening of a door from this life to the next. Amen. We fall asleep on earth, and hallelujah, we wake up in heaven. For the believer, the sting of death has been removed. The last year or two of my mom's life, she was at my house one day, and we were playing some of the songs of Zion, and I think we were watching Bill Gaither. I love Bill Gaither, and she loved some of the songs, the old time songs. And after one of the songs about heaven, my mom looked at me and she smiled and she said, "Brian, I'm getting homesick for heaven. I can hardly wait to go." My mom knew Jesus Christ as her Savior, and because she was in Christ, there was no sting to death. She was looking forward to it because she knew after death she would meet her blessed Savior. And I want to ask you, my friend, do you have that hope? Do you have the hope my mom had? Are you sure that when you die, you're going to go home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven? Are you sure? This morning you can make sure. And in a few minutes, I'm going to invite you to come forward and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. This morning, you can settle it. This morning, you can make sure that no matter what happens, you will not have to face the monster of death.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
The resurrection of Jesus impacts how we will face death. But second, the resurrection of Jesus will also impact our eternal destiny. The resurrection of Jesus guarantees that we will all rise again. Oh, I hope you heard me this morning. Did you hear what I just said? The resurrection of Jesus guarantees that we will all rise again. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 22. And here's what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Did you notice what it's, who's going to be made alive? All. Oh, I hope you realize that includes you. All shall be made alive. And then here's what it says. but each one in his own order. There is an order to the resurrection. We don't have time to get into that. Suffice it to say, everybody is going to rise again, but there is an order. And then it says, Christ, the first fruits. Stage one in the resurrection is Christ, the first fruits. Second, those who are Christ that is coming. But let's stop right here. Let's just talk about Christ, the first fruits. You say, Pastor, what in the world is this business about Christ, the first fruits? The Jews would understand what the first fruits were. Because when harvest time would come, the first part that was harvested of whatever crop they had planted, that first harvest, let's say they had planted corn, the first ears of corn that were harvested, those first ears of corn, those were the first fruit, and they were given back to God. They were used as a thanksgiving celebration to God. These are the first fruits. And they were thanking God. Why? Because the first fruits was a guarantee that the rest of the harvest is coming. I hope you heard me this morning. The first fruits guarantees the rest of the harvest. And when the Bible uses this term, Christ the first fruits, what it is actually telling you, the resurrection of Jesus is guaranteeing all the other resurrections that are to come, including your resurrection and mine. Amen. No, Stephen Hawking doesn't agree. He passed away recently. But Stephen Hawking was a great scientist, but he doesn't agree. Stephen Hawking said that our brain has component parts, and he says once those component parts wear out, that's it. He said there is no heaven. He says there is no afterlife for a worn out computer. And so when your parts have worn out, that's it. But I'd rather believe Jesus than Stephen Hawking. How about you? I'd rather believe Jesus than Stephen Hawking. And here's what Jesus said in John's Gospel chapter 5. John's Gospel chapter 5 verse 28 and 29. Here's what the Word of God says. Don't be so surprised. Don't be so surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will what? They will rise again. How many did it say? All the dead. Oh, I hope you realize, young man, teenager, young lady, older person, I don't care what you believe. You may say, I'm an agnostic, I'm an atheist. Listen, God is not going to be discouraged or bent out of shape. The fact that you are an agnostic or an atheist, he's going to make you rise just the same. You say, I don't believe in resurrection. Help yourself. You're going to come back anyhow. So you may as well be prepared. He says, Jesus, this is Jesus. I want to point this out because, you know, sometimes I run into people say, I don't believe the Bible. And you say, do you believe in, you like Jesus? Oh, I like Jesus. He's a good man. He's a good teacher. Okay, this is the good teacher talking. Here's what a good teacher said. If I ask you, do you believe Jesus was a liar? You say, no, Jesus is not a liar. Well, here's the non-liar speaking. And here's what he said. Don't be surprised. The time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. Jesus is letting us know that every single person is going to rise again, and he's letting us know that there are two destinations. Did you notice that? He says there are some who are going to rise to eternal life, and they're saying there's another group that is going to rise to experience judgment. There are two destinations. But guess what? There's going to be two different types of bodies. Each person gets a body based on where they're going. Where are you going? Which side are you heading? Are you heading for the eternal life or the judgment side? I'm going to go to the eternal life side. So can I tell you about the body I'm going to get? My Bible says, here's how the Bible says. It says that a believer in Jesus Christ will receive a spiritual body. The believer in Jesus Christ will receive a spiritual body. You can put that in your notes. A spiritual body. The believer in Jesus Christ will receive a spiritual body. Look what it says with me here in verse 42 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised what? A spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Make a note of this. Resurrection is not reconstruction. Did you hear what I said? Resurrection is not reconstruction. God has no plan to go searching for to put you back the way you were. He's not going to put you back the way you were. He's going to give you a better type of body. He's going to give us what the Bible calls a spiritual body. There is a natural body. Some of you are looking good in your natural body. But there is a spiritual body. And to help us, Paul gives us a little illustration here in verse number 35 of the same chapter. Here's what he says in verse 35. Someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what body do they come? Foolish ones, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow the body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. You notice what he said? You do not sow. When you are a farmers don't plant what they expect to harvest. A farmer who wants to plant mango, who wants to harvest mangoes, does not put a mango in the ground. If you want to harvest corn, you do not put a whole ear of a whole sheaf of corn in the ground. Am I right about that? You say, Brian, I don't know if I can follow you, because I know you don't know a thing about agriculture. But that's what I heard. I heard that if you want to grow corn, you put a grain of corn. I gather you put a seed, and that seed becomes something. Am I right about it? Oh, I've seen my wife plant tulips. And I notice she does not put the tulip in. She puts an ugly bulb. Am I right about it? What an ugly bulb. Tulips are so ugly. The tulip bulb. She puts that ugly tulip bulb in the earth. And voila! After so many months or whatever, out comes a spectacularly beautiful tulip. But it came from this ugly bulb. And the Apostle Paul is letting us know, listen, what is the body we're going to get is far superior, is far more glorious than the body we have now. I hope you're getting it. You see, even if you feel right now like an ugly tulip. Hallelujah, one day, no matter what we are going to come forth with this spiritual body, a body, a glorious body. The body we're going to get is the same body that Jesus had after the resurrection. Did you realize that? The Bible says, when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to get the body like what Jesus had. Now, this is an incredible body, you know. You remember when, after Jesus had been raised from the dead, he visited his disciples, you remember, and they were in a room and the door was closed. And what happened? Jesus didn't open the door. Jesus just appeared inside. The body of Jesus had the ability to go through the wall. You say, oh, he must have been a ghost. By the way, that's exactly what the disciples thought. They said, he must be a ghost. He must be, here's the Bible uses the word, a spirit. He must be a spirit. Or as some of you are from the islands, you would say, he must be a duppy. I didn't have to translate because I told you what it was before. So Jesus, knowing that they figured he is a ghost or a duppy, he says, come check me out. He says, come check me out. He says, handle me. Because a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see me have. And they checked him out.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.